Blog Talk Radio.
We're alive because we want to stay alive in Torah Chaim, in Shokhan of Life, Torah Ches, in Shokhan of Kindness, Torah Rachman, Shokhan of Mercies. This is now Soul Class number 225, Reasoning for the Nations. And before we get into the content, which we hope to have the merit to share with you right now, blessed souls, I just want to mention that we heard at the beginning of the show, a wonderful musician that I just stumbled onto yesterday. I'm always looking for some unique music to cue in, segue, to end the show with, and I think I found it in Nadav Bahar, and he was playing guitar, and accompanying him on violin was Oren Sor. They were doing a classic Lubavitcher Nigun, as we call it, called Ki Ano Amecha, which is based on a liturgy that we of the nation of Israel sing on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippurim. And if you want to learn or see or listen or even purchase this music, you can go to YouTube.com, of course, and type in G-R-O-Y-S-E-M. And there's two videos, and you can hear that song. It's to your heart's content. I loved it, and hopefully we'll be hearing more music from Nadav Bahar and the various different combinations of musicians that this young, talented musician, I believe, lives in Eretz Yisrael, the land of holiness, the holy land, the land of flowing of meditation and towards the universal redemption in this generation for all nations, is dwelling. So now let's get to this class, because, you know, we'd like to start with music, but that's just as a segue to what we hopefully will vibe out with you now. And by the way, listen to those, even though we're doing an impromptu version today, a truncated version of our normal presentations, you can call in if you want to try to jam a little bit with me. You can call in at 1-347-838-8669. And we continue with our humble efforts to vibe out on a crucial text, which empowers the reader to immerse his or her blessed mind and heart into a new line of thought, which, in reality, blessed souls, is quite ancient origins, namely to consider the seven universal commandments as discussed in Eli Sheva Bar's seminal work, which is called Torah for Gentiles, Messianic Implications of the B'nai Noah Laws. So, in the meantime, blessed souls, if you're not listening and eventually will hear the archive version, or if you're listening now and won't have the time to hear the archive version, may have a blessed day within the Creator's blessed creation. So now, speaking of ancient ideas, ancient concepts, let's talk about an ancient people. Well, Eli Sheva discusses in the 10th chapter of her book concerning the prohibition of idolatry. Now, I'm speaking of a native peoples who lived on a continent which used to be called, before the Europeans came, as Turtle Island, which I've heard from more than one Native American human being on the radio and on videos. And the name of this people were called the Ancient Pueblo Peoples, or Ancestral Pueblo Peoples, who lived what would normally be considered today as the present-day Four Corners area of the United States, which comprises southern Utah, northern Arizona, northwest New Mexico, and southern Colorado. And with that being said, what we're about to say is talk about how they had their unique service towards the Creator, but it wasn't really in sync with the seven Noahic commandments. But we have to remember, blessed souls, if there were no direct descendants of the children of Noah to interact with this other branch of the children of Noah to remind them of their traditions, which are really universal in scope, nature, and application for all peoples of the earth, namely the seven Noahic commandments, we're not surprised by the following scenario on how they perceived was the way to give praise into the creation. So let's go into it a little bit. So there were these people, as Eli Sheva begins in chapter 10, and discussing the concept of, the prohibition, the mitzvah, the commandment of idolatry. The people living in the Pueblo region, as I just described, felt, and by the way, I just want to mention too that there are people today who are considered to be the descendants of course, the Native American, Turtle Island, North American Indians, I guess we would call them, but they're really native to this land, that the Pueblo peoples that are living in the region now are considered to be the ancestors of the ancient the ancient Pueblo peoples, let's make it simple. So there are some probably implications in terms of modern-day application, and hopefully with our humble efforts, somehow these teachings will reach the descendants of these ancient Pueblo people. Anyway, going way back, going before the Common Era, that these people had lived, and they sensed that they had a strong obligation to be connected, as they perceived it, to their environment in a unique way, which was accompanied by a sense of adoring the sun, or as we would say in the street, worshiping the sun. And they had an awe of the sun, for they felt that as long as they kept worshiping the sun, they would sustain its course in the skies. And as we would put it, if God forbid, within their mindset, if the Pueblo people had stopped worshiping the sun, it could well, very well, vanish out of sight, and the world that we live in and the world that they had lived in would have plunged into everlasting darkness. So they really put a great responsibility upon themselves, which is a noble gesture on the part of human beings, although we humbly suggest it was an erroneous responsibility to put upon their shoulders to think that their prayers would keep the sun going. But with that being said, we do know, it doesn't take too much of a rocket science to figure out, that if the movement of the universe were to stop, God forbid, heaven forbid, it would literally be the end of the world, somewhat like a bicycle would fall and crash to the ground as soon as the rider of the bicycle stopped pedaling it. Eventually, the laws of gravity would kick in and the bike would crash, bringing down the rider of the bike. However, the Pueblo peoples had attributed the perpetual movement of the universe to their own prayers. So it might not have occurred to them at that particular time that there, in fact, there are not just the sun that they had worshipped, but there were suns beyond number. Or perhaps, I'm just interjecting because Elisheva doesn't write this, that perhaps they felt that their worshipping of that particular sun would have a butterfly effect to cause all the suns of the universe to continue to shine and to reach out into all the galaxies beyond the measures that contain them. Yet still, we should recall that tiny, tiny human beings, that's us, have a rider. Yes, someone rides above us who gives us our permanent movement and is ordered from before creation and in this very moment, in the most existential sense, every minute in a detailed fashion of how the whole life circle, or I should say the whole life cycle, should continue. And the Pueblo people, again, had the notion that their prayers would continue the cycle by virtue of their praying to the sun. And that would allow them, which is reasonable thinking, that if they're keeping the sun to in motion and to shine as it does and has never stopped, it never shall stop, as I understand from my understanding of Torah teachings, that that would allow those ancient Pueblo people, until our days, to gather the crops of their fields and enjoy their produce. But we're talking about a more profound rider who is not human, who is not seen, cannot be tasted, touched, or smelled. We're talking about the rider who is the actual creator of the heaven and earth. And we do acknowledge that the Most High's kindness endures forever. The Most High creator beyond any created being, as testified in Psalms 136, provides sustenance for all creatures, for his kindnesses, for his kindness endures forever. Indeed, as he is described in chapter 68:5 in Psalms, he is riding the highest spheres, meaning that the Most High not just rides the spheres, the heavenly bodies, the constellations, the earth itself, all the planetary systems that exist, that are observable by flesh and blood human beings with a divine image, but even way beyond our consciousness of whatever is going on in the so-called parallel universes, which is discussed by string theory co-founder Dr. Michio Kaku, that the Most High dominates and directs their course. He gives them life, all of what I've described superficially, because the Most High is life, he's the source of life. And if this rider stopped pedaling, so to speak, this divine rider, so it would be the big crash that people, or in the particular case we're talking about, the people of the Pueblo people would have feared. And we would fear that too, if the great rider, speaking of the Most High in an allegorical sense, of course, were to stop riding this universal bike that he is allegorically pedaling on, it would be a big problem. So in order to probe the point of the ancient Pueblo peoples, one could suggest to them that they should stop worshiping the sun just for one day and let's see what happens. But suggesting such a thing in their eyes, in their cultural perceptions, could be perceived as a sacrilege and blasphemy. And even in the greater context, it might also be taking a greater risk. And who would want to dare to take such a risk? Now, in a footnote here, Elisheva is very careful to say, in her analysis of this ancient people's sun-worshipping rites, where she doesn't go into detail, just said that they, from her research, that they in fact had worshipped the sun, it was not with the intention of making fun of the Pueblo people, but rather that we, who believe in the true source of all life, should revise our own sense of awe and dependence upon the overwhelming power of the Almighty Creator. In fact, we should point out, in Jewish liturgical prayers, we do not beg that the sun should rise next morning, because this is a steady state of existence. It's on a continuum that we of the nation Israel have no doubt about. Yet we do pray for rain during the raining season, because rainfall is not a regular phenomena and unpredictable, as unfortunately we have learned to what has transpired over the last year in America. And the fact that rainfall is irregular and unpredictable, we do see that farmers and those of us who are sustained by the farming ecological system, we do turn our eyes to the skies above. In fact, during the last days of the previous series of Yom Tovim, Jewish holidays, the day of Shemini Atzeres, we ask for good, plentiful, nourishing rain, not only for inside the land of Israel, but for all of the creation. And if we know if rains are withdrawn from the human farming ecological experience, all a person's work will have been vain, and it will be a drought year, and that means famine for the land. Heaven forbid, may the Most High not allow this to happen. And so we do have, in fact, a teaching from the oral traditions of Torah that one of the things that are directly in the hands of the Most High are the key for making it rain. So if the rain is withheld or does not pour out in the proper time, we know to speak that the Most High is expecting something of us. We might even say that there is a certain displeasure from on above that we're not getting the bountiful, nourishing, healthy, cleansing rains that our agricultural cycles so desperately need, in order that we can get the food that we so desperately need to survive. So our traditions of Israel have incorporated throughout the year supplications for rain, because rain is not a regular occurrence. Now, some of us have a custom of praying for good dew, because even in the seasons where certain parts of the world do not get rain, like for instance the land of Israel, several months out of the year it does not rain, and parts of the Middle East, that we do ask for good dew, for those of us who have that tradition, and of course we ask for proper rain, that it should not be a flood type of rain or damaging type of rain, but again, a nourishing, healthy, cleansing, purifying type of rain that our crops should grow. And therefore, our tradition of Israel is that asking for proper sustenance via the vehicle of rain is connected to us actually doing tshuva as well, repenting, to turn back from our backslidings. So what we want to do is, as we end this show today, blessed souls, is to remind everyone that it really is of no consequence if we stop praying to things which have been shown throughout human history, and even that which preceded human history, because it is testified to the Torah that such things would be constantly in motion, namely the sun, the moon, and the stars, that there's no reason to pray for them or pray to them that they should continue in their service, because the Most High is the divine rider who keeps these entities, these blessed created beings, going. And also we shouldn't make the mistake that who the Most High honors, we should honor, because this is still sliding, according to Rambam, in the laws of serving idols, meaning he wrote a book, a compendium, based on the written and oral traditions of the Torah, what we should know constitutes idolatry, so we should avoid serving idols. And therefore, since one of the services in the temple was an act of prostration, which was part of the concept of prayer. Therefore, we would humbly suggest that people stop praying to create entities which have already been set in motion before we existed upon the earth, because all human beings came upon this earth on the sixth day of creation, which you can learn more about by going to the book of Genesis. So we hope next week, blessed souls, to go back into this. And again, this is with all due respect to the public people, and that they should have access to these teachings. And if there are descendants of those ancient Pueblo peoples, that they should, if they are still praying every day to the sun, take a day to stop. And we assure you of the nation of Israel, not because we are God beings, not because we are the ones who really know, but because we have been given instructions from the Torah of Moses that the Most High will allow these things to exist forever, as long as human beings are on the earth, because, as it says in chapter 136 of Psalms, He provides sustenance for all creatures, for His kindness endures forever. And for in order for us to get sustenance as creatures of the Most High, as human beings, the sun must shine in the sky. But for things which are not regular, like rain, we should pray for rain. Not we're praying to rain as to a god or goddess of the rain, but to the Most High, that you should bring us healthy and plentiful rains. So we're going to end the show now, blessed souls, and I hope there was some sort of edification that you could glean from this, my humble efforts today. We're going to end with a show with a song called My Way Back Home by David Dome. Will help us get back home. Brother David, Achi David, who lives out in England, is recovering from the removal of his spleen. So I, as one humble Torah expert, Don Jesse Goodman, throw you out a big spiritual hug and kiss, Achi David, that you should get well. And I hope that the removal of your spleen will bring you back to the most stoutest health possible, and that your music should be more keen, more astute, to help people become more aware of the fact that they've been blessed with the divine image, the Tzelem Elokim, which is no dream, to help us get off and scrimmage, to reconnect in a more tangible way with our divine image. So this is Donzis Gubin signing off, saying, Ahav Echad, one love, Goral Echad, one destiny, Kulanu, Bardarch Yishalom, in a peaceful way, Darch Yishalom, in a pleasant way, Amshich, to be continued, Be'ez Hashem Yisbreak, to be continued with the blessings of the Most High. Take care, everyone.
Yeah.